Hey, movie lovers, you can enjoy Real Nerds Podcast in many ways. You can go to our website, realnerdspodcast.com. There you'll find articles and the podcast. You can go to our YouTube channel and you will see the Real Nerds Pod Show. We're also on Blue Sky. Hey, did you know Facebook is still a thing for people? Yep, we're on there too. We are also on Threads. There are many ways to interact with us. All our film adventures are posted on Instagram. If you have a social media account, you can find the Real Nerds Podcast.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
just
can...
talk to film!
I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will turn out all the gods. Lights, camera, action!
Man, we are so cool. We are super cool. Because every week we see a new movie and we podcast our experience to the world. We are the Real Nerds Podcast. I'm Ryan. I'm joined by...
Brad.
And Brad is as cool as the other side of the pillow.
Hi, I'm Brad, and you're watching the Real Nerds Podcast.
It's Weenie and the Butt.
Weenie and the Butt.
So it's funny. My kid's been watching Family Guy, and... that Weenie in the Butt episode, it's like 20 years old. Can you believe that shit? I think Family Guy is, it's, I think not this season, the next one's the 30th season of Family Guy.
That's insane. For a show that got canceled.
I don't remember how much we used to watch the DVDs of the seasons 1, 2, and 3.
1 through 3, like so much.
Religiously. Yeah. And
it was on Adult Swim.
In fact, I, the other day in my car... because I don't know how I obtained all this music from the show, but as I was driving...
I bet someone ripped it off.
I know, totally. The it was a Stewie... what Stewie song came on?
I feel bad. Someone emailed me like a year or two ago on Facebook. They said like, hey, I found your website with the Family Guy CD on it. Do you think I can get a copy of that? And I was like, sure. And then I didn't get back to it.
Dick.
Well, then I started to think, what if they're from Fox, though?
Bring money. Yeah. But so the Stewie song in the Janet episode, I can't remember which. It's he sings. It's from My Fair Lady. It's the knife of the life of the wife is ended by the knife. So that came on while I was driving, and my kid got really excited. And so he literally has been watching it from the beginning. And, and so it's just been really fun watching it again. But yeah, that episode's like 20 years old. I think it's season 8 or something. Weenie in the Butt.
Which is, yeah, it seems like a much more recent one, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's interesting when you, cause you feel like they are. And then as I'm watching, I go, man, this show has been around so effing long that, and not in a bad way. I just watching them again. It's just so they are so smart. And then I don't know why for a while they kind of got like shit on, but they're one of the most streamed shows on Hulu. The Idiot. How stupid Peter is, and then how much I just love Stewie. It's fun, and it's really fun revisiting them. You know, where I love the episode where Lois is, she's talking about going to the coffee shop, and Stewie's next to her, and she says, "Ah, I think they really like me there." They don't. Just everything she says.
It's also funny to like Stewie's character, you know, the first two seasons,
oh,
he's like,
yeah,
trying to kill her, and now he's just like, he's like that. He's just like sarcastic.
Yeah, he's just a little prick.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just watched the one where Meg goes off on all of them and how they treat her, and then she realizes that it messes with the universe if she's not the butt of their jokes. It's funny. Anyways, totally off topic.
Yeah.
But this week we saw two movies. We saw Supergirl and Jackass. We should probably get into it since we have two to review. How we do this is we recommend the film or not, play the trailer, then spoil it. We'll do that for two movies. What movie do you want to do first, Brad?
I don't know. I feel like, do you have more to talk about for Jackass or Supergirl?
Well, Supergirl came out this week. Brad, do you recommend a second journey with a Kryptonian?
It's fine. I think everyone in it is interesting for the most part, but I don't, again, like last week, I don't know what the, like, we're trying to build this universe, and I don't know if this story is like her story is her flashbacks. Like, that's the most interesting part. Everything else around it is like, why, like, what, how significant is this to everything that we're going to be like setting up? Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Like, James Gunn said, like, look, we're only making DC movies if the scripts are, like, bangers. Like, they have to, like, these are stories that have to be told. And I'm sitting here going, like, there's, like, 20 minutes of this movie that has to be told.
Yeah, and do I recommend this movie? I don't think it's a bad movie.
No.
I had fun at moments in it. As I was watching it, though, similar to you, he said we're not going to put stuff out that's, you know, not ready. When I watched this movie, I could tell where James Gunn influenced it. You know, there's a part, and it's a cool fight scene towards the end, but it has music that James Gunn would pick. And I don't know if this is true, but I guess we should play the trailer and get into it. But I'll just say that it feels like Lobo's tacked on. But here's a trailer for Supergirl.
Here's the thing. My cousin and I have very different ideas about what it means to be a hero. He sees the good in everyone. And I see the truth.
The brigands brought destruction to every corner of the universe. The galaxy must be defended.
You cannot give up on me. Anytime.
Party.
Oh, that might be a problem.
I know it's pretty colorful, but that's just so everyone knows we're good.
I'm going to tell you something. Only one of you is going to make it out alive.
We haven't been formally introduced.
Supergirl, we get that she doesn't want to save the world. She's whatever. Basically, it's on the poster. It's whatever. So she's kind of morose and...
Yeah, she didn't land in Kansas and grow up in the, like,
yeah,
American culture.
She's a loner. She wants to be left alone.
Everyone she knows, like, she saw them die.
Yeah. So she has that different experience than Clark, because she... wasn't on Kryptonian when it exploded. She was actually on this new world that they created through what they thought was going to save Krypton. And in fact, it was poisoning everybody. She was saved, was sent away, told her to find Clark, and she didn't want anything part of it. And, you know, I actually was getting really into the movie when she goes to the bar and that one girl from her family was killed by the bad guy. I don't remember the bad guy's name. But when she fought that...
Krem, I think it was.
Yeah, something like
of
that.
The Yellow Hills.
But when she fought that kind of alien monster guy, I was like, okay, this is different. I'm kind of getting into this. But then it felt like the movie kind of stalled a little bit. And it's not Millie Alcock. I thought she was actually really good in the movie.
Yeah.
But I thought the people around her just weren't fleshed out enough.
Yeah, because she's the, you know, it seems like Supergirl is a tagging along in the little girl, like this little girl's story. Like Krem killed her parents.
Yeah, but you also don't really care about the little girl. And again, it's not her fault. I think she did fine, but...
But you look at her and you're just like, you're going to take on Krem? Like,
yeah, and it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And so now
and
we have...
And that leads to a story of like, oh, Krem's a sex trafficker, basically.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Which was interesting. And
it's pretty dark for...
yeah.
Like a...
And then they're trying to save Krypto.
Teen girls movie.
And I mentioned before we started this.
Oh, yeah, Krypto. God.
Yeah.
That's why she's along for the ride. Yeah.
But it felt like Lobo was just added because they needed something to punch the movie up.
Or like, hey, we want to make a Lobo movie, but
and
we need to get him in somewhere to like get hype built.
Yeah and, yeah, and full disclosure, I know nothing about Lobo.
Me neither.
I know he's a bounty hunter. That's I mean, I knew that about him, and I know people really like him. Jason Momoa is fine as him.
Born to play him.
Yeah. But
I thought he'd be a bigger part of the story.
Yeah.
Because he shows up in this one fight.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to catch this one guy, and then he just shows up later. Like
he's basically
he's in prison already for some reason.
Yeah, and then he's the trope of saving the girl, and Supergirl doesn't need to be saved. I really don't like stuff like that. Not that Lobo is there, but it's Supergirl can't fight all these guys, and she needs someone to bail her out. And that just... Because even the part where... God, this movie's so disjointed. There's the part where she's on the transport and those aliens try to...
she's like on a bus, a space
bus. Yeah, and they try to hijack everybody. Yeah. That was really fun.
Yeah.
You know, it was creative. And I don't know. It just seems like the movie kept gaining momentum, then it would lose it. And even the end, it was fun. But...
And it seems like it like really forced itself into situations where she would become depowered. Like, you know, she goes to Red Sun so she can drink and get wasted. But
yeah.
Beyond that, like there's a couple times where it's like, oh, well, why are the people hiding from her on a green sun planet? Because if she gets in the right spot, she can just recharge and kill them.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe dock yourself on a red sun.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it is a reversal because in that, they actually, you know, she stops that girl from killing him, and then as she walks away, she fucking just kills him.
Yeah, again, like, people complained about Zack Snyder having Superman kill Zod.
Yeah.
And then they're like, you know what would be great? Let's have another Kryptonian kill a... which I guess is from the comic.
Is like, it? I have no idea.
I heard that's like she's fine with killing people. Mm. I didn't know that. But again, it's the optics of people who aren't into the comics are like,
yeah.
Oh, so our superhero is fine with killing. Like,
and,
yeah.
And it'd be interesting too, because what would Clark say to her? You know?
Yeah.
Because he has a huge speech with Luthor where he tells him, you know, the difference between me and you is, and he goes on a tirade about how he would never kill someone. And
yeah, so what, you just killed Krem? Like,
yeah.
Well, he's a sex trafficker. Like, yeah.
But... Yeah, we get it. I mean, I'd like if she just picked him up and threw him in the fucking atmosphere, but
yeah, he kind of got off easy, really.
Yeah. So again, it's not a bad movie, and the culture we live in now, everybody needs to be instant gratification. So when it only makes 48, whatever it made in this opening weekend, and people, oh, failure. I don't know if that's true. I wouldn't say it's a failure of a film. I think, like I said, there's a lot of ideas, and some of it gains a lot of momentum. And then it's, oh, well, now she's sad again. You know, she did that whole thing where she saved these people on this bus, and then she goes to this planet where kids are being sex trafficked, and then she doesn't want to deal with it anymore. And then she's sad, and she wants to get drunk, and then she falls for those people that are going to take her to see him. I go, come on, guys. It's just...
Yeah.
But
again, it's like also, it's a Supergirl movie, and other than, like, saving Krypto is, like, her journey.
Yeah. And I guess maybe, too, it's a letdown because how good Superman was. You know, I really liked Superman, and...
But if they'd tied this more to that, it would have made more sense.
Yeah.
But this is, it just seems like so, like an because other thing.
It would be fun to, I think, if they had that dynamic of Clark saying, hey, let me show you how to be a hero. You know, you have these powers. Let's use them the right way. Which he does at the end. He does say that, he does have that scene with her at the end where she says, I'm going to stick around.
Yeah, but it really should be a buddy movie where, like, yeah, his influence on her changes her.
Exactly. Because something.
But she's just on her own thing that, I don't know, we're just getting introduced to all this new stuff that doesn't, like, is it going to come back? I don't know.
It's not going to matter because...
Is Lobo going to have his own thing going on?
I don't know. I don't know.
Did they just have Momoa do Lobo because it's like, oh, it's something we've always wanted to see, and here it is, and now we're just going to forget about it.
And he's contractually obligated to do another Aquaman, and since we ditched that, let's give him Lobo. I don't know.
Yeah.
I still have faith in James Gunn because I think he has cool sensibilities. I mean, I think Clayface looks awesome.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see Clayface. But it's just another thing, too. So now, you know, in this, it's not part of his universe, but the most important character is Batman, and now it's delayed again.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like his universe is building really slowly.
Yeah.
Like, what was it? Hulk, Iron Man, and Captain America, and Thor.
Yeah.
And then the Avengers came out with like a couple years of each other.
So Iron Man was 2008.
And Hulk was
2008. 2009, did they even have anything? But Iron Man 2 was 2010.
Yeah,
2010. 11 was Thor and
Captain America.
12 was the Avengers.
So within a couple short years, they fleshed out a huge chunk of the universe.
Well, yeah, in 4 years, you have a sequel to Iron Man, and then you have four other films.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah, there's like, I get what he's saying, but what else are you going to do? And, you know, everything they've been putting out, people are not been that receptive to. The Lantern stuff, people aren't that receptive to. And which is really bizarre because when you look at DC as a whole, they have good characters. It's just, why can't they harness those characters?
Yeah.
I mean, Batman, you don't have to worry about Batman. Superman came back and Superman's great.
But like, why is he only focused on Superman? Like he can't get other directors to like do a Green Lantern movie or the next Wonder Woman.
100%.
Like, why are those not already like halfway through development already?
It doesn't make sense. And I know people get on Marvel because they announce stuff and then they end up canceling it. But at the same time, it's always producing something. It's always something's coming out. And you have characters, you know, like Harley Quinn, who's super popular. And you're telling me you can't put her in a movie? The Joker, you can't find... Well, maybe they're taking a break because Todd Phillips decided he's going to shit on every comic book person by making the second Joker film. But yeah, I don't know what he's trying to do.
Like, this is the whole Gods and Monsters phase, and like, he got those animated shows done and the Superman movie, but like, what else is we building towards?
Why is DC so great at animated stuff, but they seem to fumble live action? I don't know. I mean, maybe when I see Spider-Man, I'll talk about something in Spider-Man that I thought I would never see in movies, but yeah.
Wait, have you seen Spider-Man already?
No, I said when I see it, I might have something to say about it. So yeah, I mean, I think you should see Supergirl. I don't think it's a waste of time. I already pre-ordered the Steelbook. I mean, I'm going to own it.
Yeah.
And I do want to watch it again. I just wish.
But there's not like, it's not as like meaty as.
I guess the big thing is it's kind of a letdown after Superman, where it had all this momentum and now it feels like it stopped. And now they feel like they're treading water again. But Superman comes out next year, so it's.
Hopefully, yeah. We move the ball forward somehow.
Brad, we saw a second movie this week.
We did.
We saw Jackass, The Last and Best, or Best and Last.
Best and Last.
Do you recommend another excursion with the boys?
Yeah, it's not hard to recommend. You know, like, it's always great to see those guys, you know, being silly. It is a bummer that you kind of have to rewatch some stuff that you've been watching at home for a while just to, you know, fill the void because they took like 10 years off from everything. And the new stuff is kind of, yeah, it's all right. You know, the new characters get very little to do. Mm. I think Rachel Wolfson's like in one bit, and then for the rest of the time, she's just in the background. I think Poopies gets the most to do in the new stuff because he gets the collagen injections. And then what's the other guy in Dark Shark? What was his kid's name?
Oh, I forget his kid's name.
Yeah, but he gets like hit by a goat. That's all he gets to do. So yeah, they're definitely showing their age because they're, you know, not doing the crazy. But also, like, while I was like watching this, I also rewatched the show, and you know, a lot of the show wasn't just stunts. You know, they did kind of just like
it's like hangouts and stuff and
goofy bits of just like pretending like to be characters or like going to stores and just fucking around with stuff. So it didn't always have to be like a crazy stunt, you know?
Yeah.
Which is like what they're trying to do in this. So I missed that. I was like, you know, there's a lot of like just basic tomfoolery. Like, you don't have to like be launching yourself off of stuff and like breaking your body to like impress us. Like, you just dress up as Spider-Man and go fuck around. Like, two, you know, they just go like bunnies just running around Japan, like fucking with Japanese people in a bunny costume. Like, that was funny enough. So yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's interesting because I do recommend this movie. And one, because it's great to see the guys again. And two, there is something really nostalgic about intertwining the two and seeing people like Ryan Dunn again. And I mean, yeah, you can watch it, but there's something poignant about it all being together. I had a lot of fun with it. So I recommend it. It's fun. Here's a trailer for Jackass.
Reminder, the stunts in this movie were performed by professionals.
Hi, I'm Wee Man.
I'm Bam Margera.
I'm Preston Lacey.
I'm Chris Pontius.
So for your safety and the protection of those around you.
I'm Dave England.
I'm Danger Aaron.
I'm Steve-O.
I'm Ryan Dunn.
Do not attempt any of the stunts you have just seen.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville. Welcome to Jackass.
Welcome to the first day of our last film.
What are you feeling?
I'm sad.
Does it make you sad, Chris?
No, I'm not in touch with my emotions.
I would like to introduce you to our new cast member.
Larry!
Nice to meet you all, big fans.
Oh my gosh, he got you!
Give me a bucket of water so I can throw it on Larry.
Years and we haven't learned a goddamn thing.
Can someone go get the shock collar for your penis? Poopy said he wants to try it.
Hi, I'm Chris.
You're taking it to a whole other level.
Yeah.
Look pretty happy about it.
If you're gonna be dumb, you gotta be tough.
High five.
This is the escape room from hell.
Start the game.
I think we're moving to the next room.
If you're gonna be dumb, you gotta be tough.
This job sucks.
You got it in the stomach pretty good.
If you're gonna be dumb, you gotta be tough.
We are going to be making history today with the first robot prostate exam.
This is what Jackass looks like at 50. You see the finger on that thing?
That's not a finger. It's a claw.
Let's let it rip, baby.
Yeah, I don't know if you need, it wasn't the theaters long anyway, but like, yeah, I don't think you needed to see this one in the theater.
Oh, no, yeah. No. It's not, the experience was fun because my kid has never seen a Jackass. So I was like, you know what? I'll take him to this one. It can't be that bad. I will say the opening bit that of their cut of Johnny Knoxville getting shot was not fun to watch.
Oh, that's when I thought the movie was going to be like, holy shit, we're in for some like crazy stuff.
Yeah, because that was not fun to watch.
No.
It gave me anxiety.
We should probably explain. So,
oh, yeah.
In the opening of the movie, before the credits even start, like the Jamiroquai Spike Jonze directed credits, Johnny Knoxville, this is like a clip from before, like when they're trying to sell the show to MTV. They just got, I think it was, what's the director of the Jackass movies? What's his name?
Jeff Tremaine,
Johnny Knoxville, and some other person. They just drive out to like the middle of nowhere in California, I think it was.
Yeah.
And Johnny Knoxville is just wearing a bulletproof vest and then like a layer of Playboy magazines or something. And yeah, just like shoots himself in the chest with a handgun. And they like speed off. And you're like, wow, what are we in for?
Yeah. Because I thought it's going to be maybe those kind of bits that I get why they, I mean, it's not fun to watch.
Yeah, MTV said like, we're not airing this because it's going to, like, people are going to try to do it themselves.
But it was interesting because and I had my kid. I go, ooh, maybe.
You come home, Kellen's got your...
Put it down!
Firearm.
But then it goes into the really fun opening where they're all like sliding and jumping. And
yeah, and on the second watch of it, I didn't realize that a lot of those sliding and jumping bits are recreations of stuff they've already done.
Mm.
Sometimes... the people who were in those original bits are doing them again.
Oh, okay.
But you know, like they,
yeah,
like falling on the cactuses, getting blasted with blue paint.
Yeah.
Like all that stuff was like samples of their best bits.
Yeah. It was fun. You know, I do know that Knoxville can't do stuff anymore because
brain injury
from the bowl. That's why he wears sunglasses all the time. Cause he got a really bad concussion. But it is, you know, I guess maybe I really enjoy it too because my son was witnessing this stuff for the first time. Like, he could not stop laughing when Wee Man was the bungee jumping and he pulled Preston in with him because it's ridiculous when you watch it. And then when you see, was it Steve or Dunn? He says, dude, he almost hit the bridge. And then it shows a slow-mo and he's this close to, and he couldn't stop laughing. And even their biggest bit, was the escape room, I guess, where
at the end,
yeah, where they
because they have that like from forever. They you see the like the they launch the snake into the room, and yeah, then they like in the dark, they have to go to the second room that feels like an escape room,
yeah. But I'm talking about the actual escape room where they had to go into a room and solve the puzzle, and they had them strapped to an electric chair,
yeah, which I feel like was like. Like they added spectacle to it.
Oh, they definitely did.
Yeah, what it was.
But then the first... coin that was stuck up that dude, Zach's ass.
Yeah, Jack, yeah.
He's oh, it's way what up is it? There.
What is it? I think it's a butthole. Yeah.
And my kid could not stop laughing at that part. But you know what I noticed when I was watching it is they cut out a lot of it because Dark Shark is in it and he has shit all over him. That you never see anything happen with him. So
maybe it's for the home video release.
I'm sure they'll have a 0.5.
5.5.
Yeah. But, you know, when you watch it, though, it is kind of fun. I maybe experience it because my kid couldn't stop laughing at some of the stuff. You know, the porta potty that explodes.
Yeah.
But
I didn't think they, like, even did, like, a lot of their best bits. Like, I think the into the Danger Aaron when they... put him in the cab as the terrorist.
Oh yeah,
with the pubes on his face. Yeah. Like that wasn't in this movie, and that's like a highlight of two.
Yeah, Kellen Matt's favorite bit was the car up Ryan Dunn's ass.
This is from the show, I think.
Yeah. Don't tell anybody. He knows that's already too many people that know.
You know, don't tell your girlfriend. Don't tell your boyfriend if that's you into. Yeah.
I fell asleep at a frat party and my ass hurts. Oh, man. This stuff, just being stupid, it's fun. Yeah, you mentioned earlier when Poopies gets collagen injected into him. It's just, what the fuck? It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had fun with it. People should see it. I don't know really which. There's obviously no plot, so. Trying to think of what stood out as well.
Yeah, like none of the new bits really, like, you know, they lower Zach, Zach's naked bare ass, like, down on people as they do a trivia quiz. Yeah. Yeah. And poor Aaron gets like, yeah, he smells so bad.
It's the worst smelling thing I've ever
seen. Yeah, like nothing too memorable.
No.
The robot was the best part, and there's only like two bits of him.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess Steve-O trying to shoot a ping pong out of his asshole. Yeah.
The trick is, I already had it up there. Yeah.
No way, dude.
I didn't swallow it.
Wait, you know, that's a really cool redemption story too. Is he's been sober for how long? Like 5-6 years?
I think since two.
Oh, really? Since two? So maybe 20 years?
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's awesome to see too. So yeah, just see it. I liked it.
Yeah, the robot was really funny. Yeah, the robot was. They had like a comedian talk through them,
punching them in the dick and stuff.
Yeah. They had like really funny comments too.
Yeah. I guess the one too where they're. See, now I'm starting to remember them when it was electrified. What were they doing? And he almost fell off the cliff. Poopies.
Oh, it was just like a balance beam.
Yeah, that was electrocuted.
But they had electric like shock collar on his
nuts. That's right. Oh, that was on his nuts.
So, he tries to like walk across the balance beam and they just randomly shock his nuts and he fall off.
And he fell off and almost fell off the side of the cliff.
Yeah. Like, why are we doing this next to a cliff? Yeah,
good stuff. Hey.
What's his name? Pontius. He's also has a lot of
does.
A good support bits too. I can't remember memorable one was like he's just fully naked doing the pole vault.
Yeah.
But like what was the other good thing he did?
He's just whacking his cock against his leg.
But yeah, a lot of the best bits. Like I think 3 is the best one.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a lot of stuff from it. It's just the Steve-O.
Yeah, I wonder if it's because it was in 3D. Launch. But no, I guess it still works. It still works in flat.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, not all the showings were in 3D when it came out.
True.
So, but yeah, it's a shame. I don't understand why they couldn't cultivate a new generation of people to do this stuff. Like, you know, watching this show, you're just like, man, like only these guys could really do that.
Yeah, but there is... I mean, you have to be charismatic, which I think all those guys are. And the fearlessness they had.
And the comfortable camaraderie with to being around each other to do some of the stuff they did. And I guess in the world we live in now, doing pranks in public is probably way more dangerous.
Yeah.
Is it in this one where he goes to the hardware store and tries to?
Yeah, where he's dressed up like a convict.
Yeah, yeah. Like they didn't show in the show because the cop showed up and they're like, "You're doing what?" Yeah, their cameraman actually got arrested. Yeah, but it's a good bit.
Yeah,
but yeah, probably in today's climate they probably wouldn't have gotten shot.
My favorite part about that bit is the lady cop forgot to put her car in park.
Oh yeah, drove into the post.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. Still, it's fun.
Oh, I guess they also showed the Brad Pitt thing again.
Oh yeah, that one was funny.
Yeah.
Dude, someone just kidnapped Brad Pitt. I love that they called. People are gonna say we're kidnapping Brad Pitt. It's just a prank.
dude, you act really good. That's really convincing.
You're a really good actor, dude. You know, I'm always surprised at people's behavior in that. I mean, if I saw someone grabbing Brad Pitt, I wouldn't let them do it. I would try to do something. But, oh, well.
Well, a couple of those guys did, but.
Yeah, but it seemed delayed.
Yeah. I think there's probably two. Like, they didn't recognize that Brad Pitt was even there to begin with.
Yeah.
And so, like, in a split matter of seconds, they're like, wait, Brad Pitt's getting kidnapped? Oh, I could probably do something, but they're already gone.
Because it is funny, because it is, like, a hot dog place. It would be funny if you're just there waiting for food late at night and Brad Pitt shows up.
Yeah.
And that's awesome that Brad Pitt says, yeah, let them kidnap me. Fuck it.
Yeah.
yeah. We watch films throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
Let's see. I watched a Monday mystery movie.
Yeah?
Called Gail Daughtry and the Celebrity Sex Pass.
Oh, I kept on meaning to check that out. It was playing at the Alamo.
You should have. It was really funny.
Is it? Well, it's directed by David Wayne, right?
Yeah, if you like Wet Hot American Summer movies, which I know you do.
I do.
This is pretty funny. It doesn't start out that funny until you realize that it's basically a remake of The Wizard of Oz set in like modern day L.A.
Because isn't it the whole thing is to fuck John Hamm?
Yeah.
Okay.
The setup is Gail Daughtry is engaged to this one guy and they're like, who's your sex pass? And they... admit, like she says John Hamm, and then the other guy's like, yeah, I don't have one. He's like, come on, you gotta have one. She's like, I guess I do Jennifer Aniston. And then they go to like this book signing, and then it turns out it's for Jennifer Aniston.
Is she in the movie?
She's in the movie.
Oh, nice.
And she fucks her fiance.
That's awesome.
She's like, well, you know, you said if we ever met them, I could do it. And so she's like, I guess I got to go do mine. So she goes on a journey to Los Angeles to go fuck John Hamm.
I love it.
And along the way, she meets three characters like Dorothy does.
Sure. Fuck, I need to see this movie.
Ben Wong from Karate Kid. He's one of them. He's like an agent. So like, I think it's the second guy. Who did she go to first? I forget which character she goes, like, I can't remember characters' names. Hang on, this is going to be really tough if I don't say it. He's in all their stuff. Ken Marino.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's the first guy she meets. He's like a paparazzi guy. And so he's like, I had a chance to, take a shot of John Hamm years ago and I blew it. So he gets in on the action. Then they like, oh, we should go to like his agency and like they'll tell us how to meet him. And so yeah, they meet Ben Wong and he's like this very like lower level, just hired agency guy. He gets fired for trying to set them up with John Hamm. And so they go on and who's the, I guess John Slattery. Oh, she's also got like her, she's a hairdresser back in rural, I think it was Missouri or something. Otto is basically Toto, her best friend. So yeah, they meet, the third one is John Slattery. He's like the Cowardly Lion character. They meet him, like he's in his garage, like doing a boxing punching bag thing. He gets in on the action. And then, meanwhile, there's like, this woman who's like the leader of a mob syndicate. She's basically the Wicked Witch and she sends her monkeys after her, all her like assassin guys to stop her from, she has like a, there's like a case, like she has her travel case. It gets switched with like another briefcase that has all her plans in it or something for something. So that's why she's trying to track her down.
Dang, I need to see that.
But yeah, halfway through, you're like, this is just the Wizard of Oz. And it's funny because in her house, they set up a shot of I think there's a photo of her like doing a costume party as the Wizard of Oz. So it's like foreshadowing everything. But yeah, it's silly, stupid stuff in the vein of like that kind of humor from Wet Hot American Summer. It's great.
It's awesome.
And it just gets better and better as it goes on, especially when they finally get to meet John Hamm. yeah, there's just like random dumb gags throughout. It's great. And it makes fun of LA a lot.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it for me.
I'm light this week too. I watched Minions and Monsters, which it might be the best Minions movie. I don't know how many there are. There's a lot of them.
That came out this week? I thought it was next week.
No.
You see it early?
I must have saw it on Wednesday.
Because I think it comes out for 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, I saw it on Wednesday.
Okay.
Because I saw two movies that day. I think I saw Jackass and Minions and Monsters the same day.
Yeah.
Whatever. I saw on the same time I saw Jackass. anyways, in it, the little minion fuckers. It takes place in 1920s Hollywood from going from silent films to talkies, which has been done a lot. And the minions are really famous as silent.
For not talking? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're famous silent film stars, and then they have to talk. And then they decide they're going to conjure up monsters to make movies. It's really silly. It's
so
fun. George Lucas is in it.
Animated or real?
Animated.
So Gru created the minions, right?
No.
He's like Willy Wonka. He just stole them from a country or something?
No. So the minion story is they've been around for billions of years, and they just go and find the most evil villain they can be henchmen for.
But they took a break in 1920s Hollywood to make movies?
Sure. I mean, okay. I don't know what you expect from this little fucking yellow banana fuckers. I said in Letterboxd it's...
They didn't team up with like an evil studio head?
No, they try to raise Cthulhu, so... And it's voiced by Trey Parker, and he's actually pretty funny in it. I don't remember a lot about it, because the way I put it in Letterboxd is the minions are like sugar. You don't necessarily need it, but it's all right if you have some. Because the last Despicable Me was awful. I vaguely remember that Gru was fighting with his neighbors.
And Trey voiced something like that.
He too. Did. Yeah. Or the one before. He was the bad guy in the one before, too. But anyways, they're fuckers. They're in old-time Hollywood. There's some great gags if you like old-school Hollywood stuff. So I let Zach know, and Zach loved it.
You know how kids these days love old Hollywood.
Oh, man. Big selling point. I wonder why that was the lowest grossing one ever. I heard that it's not going to be one of the best grossing Minion movies. I don't know yet, but it could be. So, yeah, that's all I watched also is Minions.
Cool.
It's a Minions movie. Next week, Brad, we're doing something totally different. Because you didn't want to see Minions on coming up on Friday.
I will if I have to.
But no, you actually had this great idea. It is America's 250th birthday. And I, for some reason, hadn't seen Hamilton. And you haven't seen 1776, which is, I think it's 50th anniversary. So I thought...
And we've both seen The Patriot, so
yeah.
Whatever.
No, Patriot's amazing.
No, but I mean, it's like, what are we going to like talk about?
Let's be super patriotic. And so we...
Gettysburg is really fucking long, and it's also the Civil War. It's not the American Revolution. There's not a lot of like American Revolution movies, and we're not going to go see Young Washington because it's full of AI and it's Angel Studios.
Yeah.
So yeah, we need to find.
Yeah. So we decide we're going to watch them both and be in and
we'll trade off.
Celebrate this. Well, I watched them both anyway. Well, I mean, I'll watch them both anyways. celebrate this great country that we live in, and we're allowed to talk about movies any way we want, and there's no repercussions because we have the First Amendment right. Usually. We're not press, really, so we're cool. So it'll be an all-American Real Nerds podcast next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot a real nerd can follow the plot and a real nerd.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast, Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it.